back, guys. DGS on KMOX 204. So we all went through the Donald Trump case together. Maybe we'll go through another one at some point. But we're bringing Brad Young in to talk about the Hunter Biden case. Now, let me preface it by saying this. Politically, I don't care. I really don't care that much about Hunter Biden. I find the case itself very interesting. And of course, anytime a sitting president's son is on trial for a gun charge, that sounds like something that would have happened in like 1810 or something. But it's happening now. And Brad Young joins us. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
I mean, this. I have bought several guns. I've never bought it while drunk or high. I don't believe I've ever been addicted to an illicit substance. But, you know, I mean, we are living our lives, right? So I didn't know. And the way I understand it is, if you are using a marijuana product and that is illegal in your state, and of course it's still illegal federally, and you go buy a gun and you've used it recently or you plan on using it when you go home, then you're breaking the law?
Well, technically it was at the time, Dave, and that is interesting because one of the pretrial motions that the judge just ruled upon yesterday was Biden's team's attempt to get in a subsequent form used when firearms are purchased that doesn't ask that question. And so, as you remember, Dave, from first year law school, or perhaps not because, you know, you've partied a lot since then, but you should remember that subsequent remedial measures are never admissible as evidence. So the judge wouldn't allow that to come into court. But yeah, in essence, the trial here, which starts this morning and started this morning in Delaware, is going to focus on whether Biden was using drugs at the time he bought this handgun. And if so, he could be sentenced to up to 25 years in prison.
Wow, I'm really surprised by that. So if you know, is this a common charge? I know that at one point they thought they had a deal and it fell through, which I'm guessing is also political. But this doesn't seem like the kind of case you'd take to trial unless you absolutely have to.
Well, let's talk about that deal for just a second, because the political part of that deal was actually, I think the political part was in the opposite direction. The deal that was reached last year, his team, Hunter Biden's legal team, was requiring that in order to cut a deal in respect to the gun charges, that the prosecution, meaning the government, could not prosecute him for any additional charges, even related to the tax issues. Now, his tax issues are going to trial in September. So that was really an amazing deal if you can get tax charges dismissed along with the resolution of a gun charge. So that fell through. And the judge refused to go off on that deal because it was so expansive. In other words, in that deal, the government couldn't have prosecuted Hunter Biden for anything. It would have waived any and all rights to prosecute him for anything between the date of the gun charges and the date of the execution of the settlement agreement. So that fell through. So that's why this is going to trial. As far as your first question, how often does this happen? I don't think it happens very often. And here's why. Very rarely do people write books and do videos to say, I was addicted to all these drugs for this period of time, which included the time that he was purchasing his firearm. So that separates this from your run-of-the-mill situation where if somebody's smoking weed and buys a gun, they don't write a book about it.
There you go. Okay, that's why we have Brad on. So let's do a little postmortem on the Trump trial. He's now a convicted felon. He's going to appeal, according to you and other smart attorneys I know. It could be a good appeal. There could be some things to reversible error in it. But he doubled the most he's ever raised as far as fundraising. People, the UFC fights anyway, are just, they've never been more behind him. He's now like has this gangster persona. Can you help me make any sense of it, or does it make any sense to you?
It does make sense to me, and we're seeing it play out, and I think it makes sense for three very quick reasons. Number one, this increases his popularity among Trump's base. You've seen that at the UFC. You've seen that with fundraising. You've seen that with the motivation of his base to get out and vote. So that will be a net positive for him. You've also seen in polling data that among some Republicans and most independents, this is a net negative. So he's losing support among independents and some Republicans. Here's the wild card. The wild card is his popularity continues to rise among the African-American community. 4 years ago, he had 9%. Now he's polling at plus 20% in the African-American community. And they see, they can, according to polls, look at Trump and say, I can relate to somebody who's being prosecuted because of who they are, not because of what they've done. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is the real wild card. He gets more turnout from the MAGA crowd. He gets less turnout from the independent and Republican crowd. But the African-American crowd, to me, is the wild card here that makes strong predictions unpredictable.
So, Brad, you've seen the numbers. The numbers haven't changed more than a couple of percentage points one way or the other. Is there anything in the future that you go, this could really control, maybe a debate or maybe whether this happens or that happens? Or do you think that we'll probably be about where we are when November rolls around?
No, I think the debates are going to make all the difference in the world, Dave, for this reason, mainly. How does Biden do in the debates? We saw him in the State of the Union address. A lot of speculated that he was using Adderall. And we do know nationally there's an Adderall shortage right now. So I'm not suggesting those two are related. I'm just pointing out those two things are true at the same time. Mm-hmm. But he did very well in the State of the Union. So if he does well in the debates, I see it basically as status quo going into November. If he fumbles and bumbles and doesn't do a great job in the debates, I think you're going to see numbers change. And I think after the convention, you could even see him replaced on the ticket. Wow. If his numbers fall too much short of Donald Trump where he is today.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Brad. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I think if he comes out turning a handspring or something. Like, oh boy, here we go. I have a little rant. It's not quite old guy get off my lawn, but I remember back in the most recent time would be in the late 90s, early 2000s. So you guys may remember this as well. I yearn for a more humble time. I really miss any sort of humility. And you've always had your Muhammad Ali's, you've always had your Howard Cosell's, you've always had your Dennis Rodman's, you've always had your outliers, but they were outliers. They were a larger than life persona. It wasn't soccer moms. It wasn't pudgy dads. It wasn't every kid in the world. Wheels, you'll understand what I'm talking about from sports. That now the MLB seems to have the most professional ranks. That if you catch a can of corn in the outfield and you act like you just stole a home run, you're probably going to take some crap from your teammates or from fans. In the NFL, if you catch a 5-yard down and out, you act like you just won the Super Bowl. Everyone's a king. Every woman's a queen. Everyone is the best content creator. Like when I watch kids sports, like on TikTok or something like that, and you see all these little a-holes and they're just mirroring this whole thing. Every bro loves Trump now and the UFC and all this, and everyone's screaming their stupidity to the top of their lungs. And I just miss when we were normal and people like that stood out as opposed to being the rule. Thoughts?
How many of those people do you interact with in real life?
Mostly just Mark Cox. Love you, Mark.
But no, I mean, it does.
No, you're right. In real life, I don't see people at Applebee's standing up and spiking onion rings.
And then you have the examples of, like, remember that girl who I think she was at an Applebee's or an IHOP or something, and she's like, my pancakes are here, and she's doing the dance.
Oh,
and
the IHOP girl.
Yeah, in the video, you see another girl looking at her like, what is wrong with you? I mean, that's what happens when it plays out in real life. It's just these things look better on screen, whether it's the little screen you're holding in your hand or on the big screen. So I think most people are still pretty humble and normal. It's just, as far as engagement goes, that's what's going to hit.
It doesn't sell.
Right.
Yeah. There's no question that more, and by the way, baseball is way more demonstrative than it ever used to be, and it's been a pretty
bat
big
flips.
Change. It's been a pretty big change in the last 5 or 6 years. Like, bat flips are less of a thing. Shows of emotion used to be completely unacceptable, and now they're not. Now it's normal. And the reason is people like it. People want, I mean, you should see kids. If I'm out every weekend coaching kids at all ages, And, you know, a lot of people bring the loudspeakers and the kids have walk-up songs even my guys do this. I don't even fight it anymore. Like, they'll hit a double and they're on second base and they've got some little dance thing that they're doing to the dugout and everybody does it. So it's not seen as poor sportsmanship. It's not showing up your opponents because all the teams are doing it. They're just excited and they're having fun. Part of me is kind of where you are, Dave, where it's like, okay, we don't have to celebrate every single thing we do. And another part of it is, well, they're having fun.
Yeah.
And if they're having fun, that's part of playing sports, is they should be out there having fun. So
I guess I just want to grab everyone around their ankles and pull them down.
No, that's not what you're doing.
No.
It's funny that you're bringing this up because last week I was watching sumo with my boyfriend and I said this. I was like, they are so...
What a strange sentence.
I was watching sumo with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
It was just funny.
Well,
yeah.
we were watching sumo together and I said to him, I'm like, everyone who wins is so humble. And
yeah.
they have these post bout interviews and it's like, yeah, I've been working hard and I've won. And I was like, it's just so nice that they're so humble. And Kurt goes, yeah, they're also forced to be humble. Like it's against the rules to show emotion. You can't brag. You can't, you know, give your opponent like a funny look or something. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. And as much as I like the humility there, it does take away from it a little bit knowing that they're forced to be that way.
Yeah. I don't think it's wrong necessarily because, again, I still fight it because every instinct in me wants the kids to stop doing the extra. Like, you know, you hit a home run. All right. You know, let's celebrate. You win the game. Let's celebrate. But I also don't want to crap on fun just because I'm older and my generation was different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a hard line to walk. And I know that, you know, basketball came along faster. Football came along faster. Hockey's always had it. They celebrate every goal like they just won the suit. They won the Super Bowl. Like they won the Stanley Cup. Like they're, you know, the slide on the knee and the fist pump and they, you know, dog pile in the corner or whatever. So, and soccer celebrates every goal because they only happen once every 4 years.
I've told this story before. But when I was a senior and I was playing soccer, and I was one of the better ones because it was the first year we'd ever played soccer. Right?
So you were fast.
I was Pele.
Yeah.
And the first time I scored a goal, I took off running down the field and I did a dive roll. And everyone went crazy. And so the next couple goals I scored, I did it again. And my coach, Mark Scroggins, who was only 11 years older than me.
Yeah.
At the time, he seemed like he was 16. He was 28 or something. And he calls me over and he goes, Glover, I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do. You scored the goal. It's yours to celebrate. But I have to tell you, you look like a real a-hole. But he didn't say a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did it again.
Yeah.
And I think about that often. You know, just he kind of saved me from myself. But when I was that age, I'm doing dive rolls.
Of course.
Right?
Of course. I mean, you see all these little viral videos of like little T-ball kids and they get a hit and then they dance their way down to first. Like they're just having fun, you know, but there's a difference. And I agree that there's a balance where you go from a kid having fun to being a little bit of an a-hole. And I think that it's up to adults and coaches to take that balance and say, all right, listen, this is where it makes sense. So my example in baseball would be, hey, if you're down 8 runs, don't celebrate when you hit a double. We're down 8 runs. You know, it's team first, then individual.
Even outside of sports, just all the people who are slaying it on TikTok. I always wonder, do you really feel that? Like when you're finished shooting the video about what a queen you are, do you really feel it? Or are you even more depressed because you know you're not? That's how I would feel.
My bet would be most don't fully feel it. That'd be my bet. I wouldn't state it as, you know, any kind of scientific fact, but that would be my bet. Is most people are putting on a show, and when you think about any time when you dress up or you're meeting new people or you're going to an awards dinner, you're not just your normal self when you're doing those.
You're
things.
You're a version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. 224 DGS. So Andrew, you were mad at Wheels over the weekend.
I was so mad at Wheeler over the weekend.
And didn't
Karma,
do nothing.
So he posted this thing on Twitter that was about like, so I go outside, right? I'm walking my dogs and I hear a cicada. Got to be like pretty close to me, right? So I get in, turns out the thing's on my head. So I brush it off. That's the end of the story.
Here's the story. This is the exact tweet. I'm just going to read it. Took the dogs out. Lots of cicadas in the yard. I come back in and I hear one. Seems like it got inside the house. So I don't see it. Seems to be moving around. So I ignore it. sit down on the computer, feel something on my neck, swipe it off, guess it was in my hair, dog eats it. End of story.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's just it.
Why were you mad?
That's just it. Everything's just so calm for Mr. Wheeler. Doesn't freak out that there's a cicada on him or anything. Totally. No big deal. So I'm thinking this as I'm leaving a friend of mine's house and I'm going to the gas station. And so as I'm walking into the gas station, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, everything's just so easy for him. Everything's just so perfect when you're Mr. Wheeler. And then when I'm in the gas station, I hear like a for like a cicada noise, right? And I'm like, oh man, what
yeah,
do cicadas
what
got in here?
Like.
And this thing, that's what they sound like when they're by themselves. And I'm like, this thing is like right over there with the chips. And so I'm just going to avoid the whole chips area. And so I'm continue to get my, and I keep hearing, beep! I keep hearing that. And I'm, so I continue to get my soda or whatever. And I go and I wait, the line's super long. So I'm standing in the line and then I hear it again. And I think, oh man, this thing is right on the ceiling above me. I'm not even going to look up because I don't even want to like tempt the fates. You want to know where this thing was?
In your hair?
It was inside my shirt in the back. Like on my neck, like inside the shirt part. So I like felt a little like itch on the on my back, and I was like, all right, gently now, so as not to upset the cicada above me on the ceiling. And I put my hand in my like shirt, and this thing like latches on to my finger. And I go, with
the difference between you and Wheeler.
He went cicada mode.
I sling it across the room and it slams into the door, and everybody's looking at me like, oh.
There are
like, yeah,
I obviously spend a lot of time outdoors on the weekends for the coaching stuff, and the cicadas are everywhere. And one landed on my shoulder the other day while I was coaching third base, and the kids are all freaking out. Like, coach, there's a cicada on your shoulder. I'm like, yeah, he says you need to work on your hitting. And I just left it there for a little while.
I've only had
the karma.
One, I got in the Jeep, and I look next to me, and it's sitting on the passenger seat.
Oh!
And he just goes, which I took as just drive, yeah. just drive, go.
We got to get out of here. The fogs are coming.
Trillions of cicadas are around here.
Jeez it.
I'm trying to stand out. I'm the only one in the Jeep.
I told my girlfriend this was my Jeep. Come on, you got to drive so I look cool.
How do you not get more of them in the Jeep?
I don't know.
Isn't it open a lot?
Yeah, I got hit in the face by one while driving.
Oh, no.
They're terrible at flying.
Yeah, they're so stupid.
It's like they're drunk.
Yeah. they do seem like they're drunk bugs. They're like, bam.
My mom, she's so cute. Like, we'll talk about cicadas, and she evidently, someone mentioned them, and she said, they're the size of birds, and then she'll go, they couldn't stop laughing at that joke. And she'll say it 5 times in an hour.
Yeah.
All you have to do is say cicadas, she'll go, you know what I said? I said they're the size of birds, and they could not stop laughing. Like, well, they all have Alzheimer's, but okay. So you owe baseball an apology?
I do. I used to think that baseball was, like, super boring. I didn't want to watch it. I would avoid watching it, right? And I was a little worried when we moved over here because I was like, man, this is like the baseball place, and I just don't really care that much about baseball. So it's going to be kind of tough to you know, navigate that. And I realize that baseball is only boring when you're like half watching it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
If you're like all the way watching it,
which
it's
I
not,
love.
It's not boring at all.
I didn't get MLB this year, but I'm going to next year. I love to watch a game I don't care about because you can just half watch it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 234. So, as you know, if you listen to the show, that so much of the show is about my life and about my life with these guys, the you know, my co-hosts on the show. And recently, we discovered a new place downtown called Chili Max, and now we're once or twice a week down there. And we just love it. It's great food. It's really inexpensive. It is what I would just endearingly call a greasy spoon diner in the very best possible way, having grown up with that over on the east side, my small little town. And three sisters run the place, and we love them, and like on the menu it says attitude is free, and so you kind of know what you're getting into. And so we invited them to come in, and your older sister said, well, that's going to have to be Wendy, who we call Gabby. So she was roasting you before you ever made it on.
Didn't know she got that part.
So good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
No problem. Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
So tell us about the history. I know you've owned it for about 4 years now. Is that right?
No, I've only owned it since December of 2023.
Okay.
How long has Chili Mac's been down there?
So it was originally O.T. Hodges Chili Parlor. Mm-hmm. It started in 1904.
Wow.
And it was up on 814 Pine Street.
Okay.
It closed down around 85, I'm thinking, 85, yeah. 88, somewhere around there, because AT&T purchased our block.
Okay.
Moved to Union Station, moved to Jefferson, moved around. So then we're back downtown where we belong. Never really left downtown for a very long period of time because that was home for O.T. Hodges.
And how long have you been working at the place?
I have been at the diner for 38 years myself. Yes. Donna, which is your server, yes, that you love so much.
Love her.
Donna has been at O.T. Hodges, well, now Chili Mac Diner, because of a family, death in the family, basically. Sure. Donna has been with the business for 44, and Charlotte, which is going to retire in August, she has been there for 47 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, most of our lives.
That's crazy. You just don't hear that anymore.
No, you don't. And it's very weird to, like, we're looking for an employee to mm-hmm. cover Charlotte's position. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to come in.
I got one for you. He's right behind you.
True.
Mr. Mountain Dew.
Right at 3 a.m. I can do it.
3 a.m. to 2:30. Come on in, Andrew. I'll take you.
Well, that seems like it would be an intimidating position to take because of how well you all work together. I mean, it would be hard to just slot somebody else in there.
I can see where it would be, absolutely. And then them knowing that we're sisters, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm not kidding. Years ago, Donna and I would go at it. I'm not lying. Charlotte and I had our feuds, but Donna and I would go at it. And we would go to holidays to moms and whatever. And our mother always said, you walk in here as my children, you leave here as coworkers. So literally, we had to abide by that, by mom, okay? So at work, we are one-on-one as employees there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying if somebody walks in and says something wrong, we're not sisters and back each
right.
other.
Yeah. yeah.
But we're definitely employees there. And
Would you be scuffling over work stuff? Like, you don't work hard enough, or you this or that, or is it just sisters being sisters?
It could be both, but 9 times out of 10, even though we gossip at work about yeah. family and friends, you know, like anybody else does, you know, yeah. as if we were just coworkers, it could get there with family, but it's a whole lot about, you know, such and such not doing enough of this, or such and such didn't get, or you didn't call in that order. You said you called in.
yeah.
And we don't, you know, yeah. it's sort of that kind of bickering.
So, Wheels, when you were a waiter, I understand you never wrote anything down.
Nope.
And when yeah. when you call out an order, she just calls it out.
Yes.
And you just hear it. And yes. you just make it. And that amazes me. I get nervous every time. I'm like, there's no way.
I'm going to remember.
There's no way she's going
to
remember.
I actually
that.
Had to go in and put it into the computer, though, right? I didn't just like go yell it. I had to remember it only so far as I had to walk in and put it into our system.
Yeah.
Well, what is so funny you brought that up is I was reading an article years ago about O.T. Hodges, okay? And there's a gentleman there, and I do not know the gentleman's name, who worked for KMOX, mm-hmm. who interviewed the Bronsons at the time owned it. And the KMOX was in there saying, you hear KMOX radio slightly in the background, but they never miss a beat of picking up that server's voice
yeah.
to yelling in the orders.
I love it.
So it's very cool to see and hear, you know, bring it back to KMOX
yeah,
and bring it back
that's
to
so
Chili.
Cool.
You know? But it is weird because you hear 1,000 voices going on, but you will always pinpoint that one you need to hear.
So I have been downtown since 1990. I used to be an attorney for 10 years, and I got the job doing radio. So we've seen big changes, right?
Oh.
And we started out the show about what's wrong with the city and what can we do and crime and such. Talk to me just about being a downtowner.
Oh, my God. It is very, very hard for me to see downtown the way it is. I can't believe in the 37 years I've been here, the total change. Since COVID, it's totally changed. We are very blessed for our business. We are very blessed for the out-of-town business we get and for the hotel people that we feed,
mm-hmm.
that send us people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And our locals, we love them to death, but they're all still working part-time at work, part-time at home. We need people downtown. We need someone to do something about the crime downtown. We got to bring downtown back. I mean, I hate to say it, but I was in Chicago, and I was so upset of their downtown. So jealous.
Yeah.
Because it's gorgeous, for one. People are everywhere. I'm like, come on, really? I mean, this used to be our downtown. And we got to do something. I mean, we do. I mean, little people like us, I mean, we're okay at this point. But I can't say what's going to happen 5 years if they don't do a turnaround.
How close are you guys to O.T. Hodges, to what the restaurant used to be and it became Chili Max? How close to that are you as far as just the food that you offer and such?
I can't say we're supposed to say we're Hodges because we're not, because it's not in our window. We do not, you know, affiliate with a Hodges family anymore. There is nothing in our restaurant that is not ran, that is not justified. Our food, everything is done. And believe me, Donna is not going to let it, or Charlotte going to let it go too far off the beating path.
Yeah.
You try to change something, they're like, wait, I still hear John Ireton wouldn't let you do that.
Huh.
And I'm like, John Ireton is no longer the owner. But I understand. I mean, because he was a very stern man.
Uh-huh.
You did it his way or you get out.
Yeah.
And they all follow John Ireton to the T on what to do and what not to do.
How do you keep it so inexpensive?
Keep biting ourselves in the butt. No. I'm joking. We don't. We just really shop hard.
Yeah.
I mean, we spend most of our time shopping. We are constantly trying to find what we can get is the best quality food because we have not lost any quality to any of our food.
No.
None. And we have kept the same thing, the same pretty much of everything. We just have to keep kind of fighting vendors. You know, it's like, and we are with Four Seasons. I'm going to throw that out there,
mm-hmm.
which is very good to us about everything they do and keeping our prices low and helping us, you know, justify things. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard. And not to throw it out, but Four Seasons, a very small family-owned business. So he's allowed to help us a little bit more.
That's nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just great. So we just fight it hard.
So you mentioned getting a lot of the hotel crowd, but mm-hmm. in our short time of being regulars, you get a lot of regulars.
We get a lot of regulars. And that is, you know, you guys coming down a couple times a week or, you know, what people are down there. They will always come and visit us. I mean, they're like I said, they're like family. We just took them in and, you know, they're our family. But you still have a lot of people that don't know we're there. I mean, just like the law firms are telling us now, they're like, oh, you should get really busy now. All the interns are coming in for the summer, you know. Well, if you don't tell that intern mm-hmm. we're across the street,
mm-hmm.
they don't know we're there.
On the other hand, there aren't many choices. Like you used to be one of 50.
Oh, at least.
Restaurants?
Oh, yes.
Within 10 blocks?
Yeah. Oh, just our block alone, we had five. And now we are down to two. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, downtown
and
is
we
very
know it
sad.
Can come back, you know, like Louisville and Nashville and
Indy,
even Denver to a certain extent.
Yep.
When I was like you, when I went to Denver for my first time a couple years ago, I was so pissed. I was like, well, if this is possible, then why aren't we doing this? I just thought it was impossible.
Right. Yeah. And then, of course, you hear all the time, I live in the county, which is not that far from downtown. Seriously.
Sure.
You know, everybody knows that. But you will not believe I hang out at this little bar and grill near my house. You will never catch me going downtown. I can't believe you're downtown. I can't. And it's like, guys, downtown is no different than going anywhere else in this world. Watch your back. I mean, I'm not saying we don't have, you know, more homeless down here, but I'll be honest, South County on the street corner says more than mm-hmm. we've chased them out of downtown. They have no one to beg from.
Yeah.
Unless they are, I mean, seriously,
right.
unless they are getting the people in town, there's very little for them to beg from.
So for people who don't know your place, give them geographically how they find you.
So basically we are literally two blocks, what would you say? South
yes.
of the Arch.
Mm-hmm.
We're two blocks north from the stadium. We're directly, everybody usually knows where Metropolitan Building is on Pine Street at 4th and Pine. We're in between 4th and 6th and Pine.
Mm-hmm.
We're directly across the street from them on Pine Street. We have been there for 38 years. If you love O.T. Hodges Chili, Chili Mac Diner is the exact company.
See,
nothing
I,
has changed.
I didn't realize the connection with Hodges because we were introducing our friend from Detroit to Slingers.
I never had a Slinger until yours, and they're amazing.
Really? Oh, yeah, and that's a big thing, too, with our company, too. Courtesy is, of course, not, which I guess I did, but anyway. They swear they originated the very first Slinger, okay? Which really floors me because several of our papers have put in there that, you know, Courtesy's number one for their slingers. They're the only ones ever made it, you know, in this world. Number one, they're using our Chili Mac Hodges chili.
Oh.
Number two, Hodges had originated the slinger in the early 60s. And literally, it was a bum off the street who came in, which that's who used to serve the customers. Were bums off the street who wanted food and a few dollars to be able to go and buy their next bottle. That's how a little Indian girl was their very first woman waitress.
Huh.
It was all bums off the street that came in and served you guys for lunch.
Well, if you hire Andrew, you're kind of going backwards.
I'm going back. Yeah. I'll take him. See him. So he walked in and said, sling me something on a plate, and that's what they slung.
That was
out.
It.
It's been flying off the shelf since.
I love it. Well, if you're downtown for a game or something like that, check out Chili Max down right across the Metropolitan. Good to see you. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you, guys, and we love you guys. Come back and see us soon.
Speaking of inexpensive breakfast restaurants, you see the Cracker Barrel?
No.
They said that they're fighting for quote-unquote relevancy, which I thought was hilarious. And one of their ideas to become more relevant is to have nanner pudding.
Oh.
What?
People like that.
Like, okay.
People like banana pudding?
Mm-hmm.
I think
like,
so.
Really?
Yeah. Enough, I guess.
Cracker Barrel could not be more relevant to me, so this really hurts.
Yeah, I just kind of thought the point of it that it wasn't. You
I
know
agree.
What I mean? Like, it's old time, old school.
Yeah, if you're looking
go get
for,
some biscuits and...
hard candy.
Yes!
Or DVDs of McHale's Navy.
Uh-huh. Ah, remember those candy sticks that all the
yes.
different... When you were a kid, you're like, I could get 10 of these for 50
Malamars,
cents.
Malamars, they got it all.
Man.
Rock candy.
I think they're overthinking.
Yeah, I would agree.
How do we really bring this into the 21st century?
Stay in the 19th century.
They have been trying new things. They've introduced, like, alcoholic cocktails.
All right.
Like, unique and interesting cocktails.
That's fine.
Like, you can get a bomb pop.
Like why some did you just cocktail? Say that like someone from 1913?
Some moonshine.
Alcoholic cocktails.
Well, because it strikes me as a Cracker Barrel connoisseur, it strikes me as very strange.
You got a barrel over there?
We're like, I have a
we don't
Jim
have a
Ricky.
Barrel. I have to travel for a barrel. I used to go to the one in Florissant, but that closed down. Now I have to go all the way out to the one in Troy.
I'm a fan of the barrel.
It hurts.
Yeah, nothing wrong with the barrel.
No.
It's never
yeah,
been my
see,
thing.
This has been a this has been a constant
Between the two of you.
Issue.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's an issue for Andrew. It's not an issue for me.
You don't go home and talk to Kurt about it.
No.
Like, why don't you like the thing I like?
Yes, it's like Cracker Barrel's awesome, and she's like, I'm not sure I agree with
that.
Because
he gets like he tell. I've never been to Cracker Barrel with Andrew, but I know his order, which is. Chicken and dumplings with a side of chicken and dumplings and then another side of chicken and dumplings.
Sometimes, often. Yeah. Sometimes
and
I'll get
I'm just
get
not
chicken.
The biggest chicken and dumpling person,
yeah.
So.
Have you ever been there?
When we go to Rosalita's, he's like, I'll have the pick three.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the
flautas
with,
with flautas.
Some flautas. Maybe put some flautas on that.
He knows what he likes.
Hey, if it's good, it's good.